Well, hello, Grace House family. Oh, me. I do miss getting to see you face to face. I miss having our worship team leading us into worship and hearing the chatter of fellowship across the room. But because of the weather conditions, we're unable to meet today. You know, we've had just about any kind of weather someone could want, except maybe some real sunny weather. The last few days, we've had rain, we've had sleet, we've had ice, we've had snow. Oh my, and and we've really got some freezer cold coming our way from what they are saying. Hey, thanks for joining with me today. I appreciate it. I'm glad we have the technology where I at least can share a message with you on this Lord's Day. And I want to do that. And by the way, Mickey sends her love and greetings to you as well. I hope all of you are staying warm and safe and that you've had kind of an incident-free weekend. So, hey, let's pray. And then I want to talk to you about destroying the works of the devil. Amen? Yeah, let's pray. Father God, right now, I thank you for my brothers and sisters and friends who are joining with me by means of this live stream. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray that your presence would be strong upon them. And Lord, thank you for your constant protection and provision and presence in our lives. You are so good to us. Now open up your word to us today. And Lord, may you use me to say something that would encourage and bless people today. I ask this in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right. I want us to look at 1 John chapter 3. Let me read a couple of verses for you, beginning with verse 7. The apostle John is writing. He says, "Little children, let no one deceive you." Now, that's a caution for us. Why? Because we can be deceived. So he says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous." In other words, knowing Christ and living for him, his life should manifest through us, right? Verse 8, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." You know, if there's some sin going on, the devil's not very far away, right? And now listen to this. "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Yes, that's Jesus. You know, in Acts 10:38, it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, Jesus, as he lived his life, he destroyed the works of the devil. In other words, he went to war against sin, against sickness, against the curse, against all unrighteousness. He manifested righteousness. He manifested God. He manifested the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. So living his life resulted in him defeating the works of Satan, and the ultimate stake was driven in the heart of the devil when Christ died on the cross and shed his blood. Amen? Yes. So let me share a few things with you out of this. We were talking about destroying the works of the devil because you and I, as believers, we now represent Jesus in the earth. And as he is, so are we in this world. First thing is this. I want to share this with you. Remember the victory of the resurrection. Oh, remember the victory of the resurrection. Listen, if the enemy's giving you trouble, if you're having trouble taking turf away from the enemy, or maybe there's some temptation that's about to get the best of you, I encourage you, I implore you, remember the victory of the resurrection. Art Linkletter, years ago, he had a program in they had this saying, "Kids say the darndest things," because he would ask little children questions on his show. This is way back when I was a little children, a little child. And Art Linkletter asked the question, "Share your favorite Bible story." Well, look, one little boy, he piped in and said, I like the story about the stone being rolled away. And Jesus came out of the cave, and when he saw a shadow, he ran back in there. Well, little kids don't always put the dots together right, and they don't always get the end of the story right. That little guy kind of missed it, didn't he? Because when Jesus came out of that tomb, he stayed out of that tomb. The Bible uses language that basically says, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul teaches that Christ has risen. Literally, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he continues to be raised from the dead. You see, he's forever the resurrected Lord. The resurrection was the knockout punch to the devil. Jesus secured victory over death, hell, and the grave when he came out of that tomb. So if you're dealing with things the enemy's bringing against you, live in the victory of the resurrection. Say it with me. He is risen. Christ is risen. Oh, Father, right now, may we have the power of the resurrection manifesting in our lives. Isn't that what Paul prayed, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, and so forth? Paul said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. It's not just when Jesus comes back and the graves are open and we get new glorified bodies. It's in the here and now. We carry the power of the resurrected Lord through faith in him. Amen. So live in the victory of the resurrection. That's the first thing I wanted to share with you. Now, let's talk about another thing. I want to talk to you about remind the devil of the finished work of Jesus. Now, last Sunday, I talked about the blood when we were together. This is back on that sacred ground about the blood, the finished work of Jesus, the shedding of his blood on the cross. You see, we destroy Satan's work by holding forth Jesus' finished work. The work Jesus accomplished on the cross when he said, it is finished. That defeats the work of the devil. Any work engineering of evil by the devil against your life, oh dear friend, stand on the sacred provision and promise of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do that. Now, the devil loves to get people involved in all kind of works. He just doesn't want you staking your claim on the finished work of Jesus Christ. I remember a number of years ago, my wife and I were in another county, and we were ministering to a younger woman. She was probably about 30 years of age, and she had been having a lot of problems with depression. She'd even been institutionalized for a while with this severe depression, couldn't function in society. Do you know, as we sat there and began to pray with her and asked her some questions, trying to be led by the Holy Spirit and ministering to her, we began to address that spirit of heaviness, that depression, renounce some things that she had opened a door to in her life. And we saw this woman become startled by the power of God. She actually kicked one of those metal folding chairs that was nearby. She kicked it so hard with her foot, just as a reaction, it went about 15 feet across the room. And I mean, she wasn't that strong. There was some help there. But in a matter of a few minutes after that, we saw the grace of God come upon her, and that was broken off that sweet girl, and she was set free because there's power in the blood of Jesus. The enemy's fine with you putting your trust in anything and everything but Christ. But your trust in Christ and his finished work is your pathway to victory. The victory of his resurrection and standing on his finished work. Those are very, very important. Dear friend, no matter what, even if you're facing death. You know, I read a story of this happened years ago, but a woman had boarded a boat in Buffalo, New York. She was traveling to Cleveland, Ohio, you know, by means of Lake Erie. And during the trip, a storm swept across that lake and began to hit the boat, and people feared for their lives, literally. And a group of them got together and they started praying, but this little lady just calmly sat with her folded hands in her lap, and just with her eyes closed, she was praying. Well, the storm finally subsided, and the people were so relieved. But a few of them gather around her and say, ma'am, we've noticed you praying, but how is it that you remain so calm in the middle of that storm? And that sweet little lady looked at them and said, well, here's the truth. She said, I had a daughter who died, and she's now in heaven. My other daughter, because I have two daughters, my other daughter lives in Cleveland, Ohio. So when that storm arose, I thought, I wonder which one I'm going to visit today. Will I see my daughter who's in heaven or my daughter who's in Cleveland, Ohio? And I decided I'd just trust the Lord and leave that up to him. You know, when I read that story, I'm like, wow, that's a deep, abiding faith and trust in God. Amen. And because of the finished work of Christ, when our loved ones who know him and put their faith in him go on, it's just temporary. Maybe some of you are grieving today. I mean, your hearts are heavy and you're grieving. And you miss your loved ones. Think about what the finished work means. You'll see them again. And I thank God for that. Let me share a third thing with you. I want to encourage you, if you want to destroy the works of the devil, base your decisions on the Word of God. When the devil came and tempted Jesus in Luke 4, turn these stones into bread, Jesus didn't get into an argument or debate. He went right to the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He based his decisions, his responses, on the Word of God. Now, sometimes people blame God for stuff the devil does, or their sin does, or they do because they're not concerned. I remember one time a young woman coming to me and knew I was a pastor and said, I'm just so upset. I'm angry at the Lord. I got married and it went south, and she told me the different things that had happened. She said, why did God allow this to happen? And you know, we can relate to that at times, but I asked her a question. Well, before you married him, did you spend some time praying and asking the Lord if he was the one for you? That if it was God's will for you to marry him? She sheepishly hung her head and acknowledged, you know, I really didn't. I said, well, then it's really not fair, is it, to blame him when you didn't even ask him about it? And I'm not trying to throw off on that young woman. She was probably doing the best she knew at the time. But we do that too, don't we? We end up responding or making decisions, and we don't reference what the Word says. We don't check in with Holy Spirit. And that's important. If you want to destroy the works of the devil, base your decisions on the Word of God. The devil is destroyed when we stand on the Word, because the Bible says everything else will ultimately fall away. But that Word, it's going to be safe and secure. It will stand. Now, last thing, and we'll finish up, okay? And I hope you and your family are doing all right there at home or wherever you may be today. Here's the last thing. If you want to destroy the work of the devil, live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I quoted Acts 10:38 earlier, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The anointing means God is with you. And when you're moving in the anointing, God's moving with you. But more correctly, you're moving with God. You see, living life in the Spirit means you have access to the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, in my name, you'll cast out devils. Well, I think you're overcoming one when you throw him out on his head. Amen? The power to deliver. The power to rescue, the power to save, the power to heal. All of those things can manifest in believers' lives by living in the victory of the resurrection, by standing on the finished work of Christ, by basing what you do on the Word of God, and by living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me declare something over you. 1 John 4, verse 4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Did you catch that? The one living in you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than anyone or thing that will ever come against you. In the end times, the book of Revelation, One angel's going to grab Satan by the neck, cast him in the bottomless pit. He's going to be let loose again for a season, and then he's going to be taken again and cast into the lake of fire. He's got a history of being cast out. He was cast out of heaven. There's going to come a time when he's cast out of the second heavens to the earth. There's going to come a time when he's cast down into the bottomless pit. And there's going to be a time when he's cast out into the lake of fire forever. And you and I as believers, we are indwelt by the power of the one who's behind all that casting out of the devil, so he can cast him out of your circumstance, your life, out of anything he's engineering against you. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is so, so important. God is with you. Christ is with you through the Holy Spirit. You know, there was once a little girl who was in a house fire, and unfortunately her parents died. Later she was taken in by some foster parents, and they took her to church. She had never been to church before. And the teacher showed the kids a picture of Jesus and asked, does anyone know who this is? You know, and we don't know exactly what Jesus looked like, but there are renderings of him, and this teacher was just using this as a way to explain and teach. But what happened was this little girl who had survived the fire that her parents died in, when she saw the picture, she said, "Yes, yes, yes, that's the man who carried me out of the house the night my daddy and mommy died." How many times are things like that true? If we could unveil the spirit realm and see the angel that God is sending, or God reaching his hand in, or Jesus, like this little girl, she when she saw that picture, her spirit rose up and said, "Oh, that represents the man. That's the man who rescued me." You see, when you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. When you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're partnering with God. When God spoke His Word, it was the Holy Spirit and the Word that came together to bring about creation. And when you get full of the Word, you get full of the Spirit, you can see dynamic, creative, powerful things happening in your life. So, oh, there's so much more, but think on those things. Live in the victory of the resurrection. Stand on the finished work of Christ. Base your decisions on the Word of God and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a simple little message today to encourage you. Think on these things. Father, may these truths manifest in our life today. Thank you for our Grace House family. I pray that each and every one of us and others who may be watching, Lord, we would be filled with your Holy Spirit. We would be full of your Word, that we would take our stand on your finished work. And Father, that we would be reminded we serve the resurrected Lord, the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. May we be people who continue to see the works of the devil destroyed in our lives. And we plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our families, our marriages, our children, over our friends, over our finances, over our health, over our well-being. May we exhibit and exude the love of God. May we walk in the power of God in His Spirit. And may we be witnesses to others of how awesome you are. And I pray this in the name of our King Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with me. Hope to see you Wednesday night. And next Sunday, we'll get back together. And by the way, I will be stepping back into the next message in our series on family foundations. And the Lord's really been speaking to me about the house of peace. Oh, we need to have houses of peace. I'm going to be preaching on that this next Sunday at Grace House. Until then, until next time, God bless you. And thank you for spending this time with me.